Ryan and Eric Wasson have taken regifting to a whole new level. Since 1987, the two brothers have exchanged the same box of candy every single year. It all began when Brother Ryan took a box of 10 assorted candies in a package entitled Santa's Box of Candy and gave it to his brother Eric, knowing that his brother did not like that candy. The brother held on to it until the next year. He believed that Ryan would not remember that box, and he decided he would regift it to him the following year. And since that time, the two have continually passed this same box of candy back and forth ever since. They've gotten quite creative in the process. One year, the brother took it and placed it into water, froze it, and gave it to the other. Another year, one placed it in Jell-O. Another time, they got the sheriff's department to deliver the candy. But in most recent years, at a restaurant, one gave it to the waitress who delivered it to the table on a silver platter. It's this idea of regifting. I don't know if you've regifted anything this Christmas, but it's become a rather popular trend. In fact, in one article in which Bryce Gruber talks about the four gifts that you are free and encouraged to regift, he says the process of regifting is about receiving one gift and then choosing to pass it along to another person. When we think about the Christian life, we as Christians should be the individuals who are most involved and generous in giving. But even more, we should be the group of people who are known for regifting very often. We have received the greatest of all gifts. In the scriptures, we read that God has given to us an indescribable gift in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this gift is a gift that we have received, but we can also re-gift to others all the time and very often. And that's what the Apostle John spoke of when he was writing his first letter in the New Testament. It was the Apostle John in his gospel who gave us the incarnation in the most unique of terms. He wrote and said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In a few verses later, he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth." In a similar way, when John takes up his pen to write his first letter in the New Testament, he continues to speak about that which was from the beginning, the very Word of life. In 1 John chapter 1, we begin in verse 1 with these words, "And that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the Word of life. The Word was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." When John was writing his letter, he goes back and he starts with that which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ. He's talking about the gift of life that he himself has received. You'll notice that he says that that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. John says, "I want to talk about the gift that I received. It's a gift of life." He says, "I received this gift. It was that which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God." Jesus, at his incarnation, simply became human, but he did not begin to exist in that moment. For the scripture says that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who has always existed, is present now, and will always exist for eternity to come. He is that which is from the beginning. But in his incarnation, at his birth, he is God in human flesh. And John says, we have heard him, we have seen him with our eyes, and we have looked upon and have touched him with our hands. John says, I have heard him. I heard the Son of God. I heard his preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. And I heard his message of salvation that comes by grace through faith alone. He says, I have seen him with my eyes, along with the other apostles. We saw the Son of God in human flesh. We saw the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And we touched him with our hands. We touched the very word of life. We touched him in his earthly ministry, but we also touched him upon his resurrection in his glorified body. John says, I have seen him, I have heard him, and I have touched him, but I have also received him, the very gift of life, the word of life. He says in verse 2, and the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life. It was John who captured those words in his gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John saw, heard, and touched, but he still had to receive. For you see, John was separated from God by his own disobedience and sin. John was just like all the rest of humanity. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin are death and separation from God forever. But John says, but we saw, we heard, we touched, and we received. He comes down to say in verse 3 that indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John put his faith and trust in this word of life, in Jesus Christ, the one who was from the beginning, but who came in human flesh. And because he trusted by faith in Jesus Christ alone, he had a restored relationship with the Father. He had fellowship with the Father and with the Son. John is speaking first about the gift of life that he has received. And like all of us, he was in need of that life that only Jesus Christ could give. But even though John speaks about the gift that he has received, he goes on to talk about his true purpose in writing. And that is, the gift of life he received is the gift of life that he desires to re-gift to others. Notice that in verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. In the Greek language, these four verses are really just one periodic sentence. It's one very lengthy sentence with one verb in it, and it comes in verse 3. Now, in most modern English translations, the translators have pulled that verb into an earlier verse to help the English reader make sense of what John is saying amidst all of the phrases. But it's that verb in verse 3 that is the one and only verb of the entire sentence. We proclaim also to you. That's John's purpose. He says, I have received this gift of life, but I want to re-gift this gift of life to you. So I am proclaiming to you that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we touched with our own hands, that which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, we are proclaiming to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John wanted to re-gift the gift of hope. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it was not enough that he himself had received salvation. He wanted others to know the salvation that comes by grace through faith alone. It wasn't enough for him to content himself that he had avoided the wrath of God and received grace upon grace. He wanted others to know the immeasurable grace of God and his matchless mercy. So he says, we proclaim him to you. We proclaim to you that which we heard and what we saw. The same Son of God we touched, the same message that we heard, the same miracles that we witnessed. All of this we're proclaiming to you that you too may believe and receive the gift of life. And he wants them to have fellowship with God again. We've all been alienated by our sin and rebellion. And it's only through Jesus Christ that there's reconciliation. John says at the end of verse 3, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And this reconciled relationship of fellowship with the Father and the Son brings joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy that is eternal. For in verse 4, John says, "And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." He wants their joy to be complete. For being part of God's family, being a follower of Jesus Christ, one who has surrendered our lives by faith to Him, brings joy that this world cannot give. For there is a hope this world cannot give, and it only comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. And when we trust in Him, we have hope that's not of this world. We have joy that this world cannot give. We have a relationship with God the Father that only comes because Jesus Christ died and rose again. We as Christians should be re-gifting people. We should be people who have received the gift of God's grace and are giving that same hope to others by sharing the good news. On this Christmas, as we are thinking about the celebration of life in Jesus Christ, who are those that need to be given that gift by our message and our witness? To whom do we need to proclaim, as did John here speak, do we need to proclaim what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have trusted in by faith? You know, those two brothers, Ryan and Eric Wasson, have been re-gifting the same box of candies since 1987. What if we as Christians made it our mission every day, week by week, to be re-gifting the hope that we have received in Jesus Christ? May it be true of us what Ryan Wasson said of this exchange between he and his brothers. We can't give up. We can't give in. We have to stay at this. May that be our story too, that we who have been rescued by Jesus's goodness and grace, that we are re-gifting that hope by telling the message of Jesus all year long. I pray that we'll be re-gifting that hope even today. I pray that you and your family have a Merry Christmas.